Kof Vov Tishrei, Monday the 20th of October, Rabbi Shimi Conway, tavelling with a basket. Kalim with a basket. Tavelling.
Okay, good morning everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me to join you here. As you can see, I'm handing out this paper of Kumar Mekoimus, and the title is the Mikveh Basket Controversy. Now, I'm sure you know what controversy is. You've probably heard of that.
I know what a mikveh is.
And you know what a mikveh is, and you know what a basket is. Excellent. Then you're, I think we can begin. But what is a mikveh basket? What is a mikveh basket? When one does Tevilas Kelim, one encounters a certain practical problem, which is that in order to toivel the keli, one has to hold it and put it into the mikveh. But while you're holding it, there's a possibility that maybe you're holding it, your grasp on the keli, constitutes a chatzitza. You're not allowed to have any chatzitza on the keli when you're toveling it. And you're grasping the keli. So there's a chatzitza on the keli. So how are you going to tovel your keli? If you let go of the keli, you'll lose it. So indeed, one method of avoiding this problem is to let go for a second, hold it very loosely so that your fingers are not actually grasping the keli, and most of the time it works. Occasionally you lose something. You just bought this beautiful set of nice silver cutlery and you lose a few knives and spoons. Can't be helped, never mind. That's how it goes. So in order to avoid this problem, has been brought up the following idea, which I believe is used in some mikvahs, and I've seen it in mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know whether it's used around here, which is to institute a type of basket, a type of metal basket, which is actually fixed or placed within the mikvah. And, yeah, not a Tesco basket which you lower into the mikvah, but a basket which is actually held, screwed into the mikvah. When you open the lid of the mikveh, you see certain metal basket. Yeah, or similar to a tray, maybe. Okay. A basket, a tray, doesn't make so much difference to my discussion. And it's there in the mikveh. If anything falls, then it drops onto this tray or into the basket. And even if the basket is big, so the basket, you can lift it out. You can lean down and pick it up, and you don't lose your cape. Seems like a fairly innocent and straightforward piece of equipment, shouldn't be any problem. Now, when one of these was fixed into the local mikveh where I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, can I say me'i gedoilo shel chachomim shel soifrim oni? So all the talmidei chachomim started to have opinions, and some said it's okay, and some said it's not okay. I'd like to spend the time available to us to explain a little bit what can be the shaila, what's the issue involved. What is the time of the Oisrim, and what is the time of the Matirim? So first I want to begin by just showing the first Marim Mokum on the paper, which is that the exact same Shaila, although the circumstances are a little different, the exact same Shaila was asked to Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's in the Chuvus of Rabbi Akiva Eger in Siman Mem. And we'll read all the words inside, but you can look at it if you want. Where he was sent a shayla from his relative Lichvoid She'er Besori Yedidi, the Rav in Berlin, Remeir Weil. And Remeir Weil wanted to know about the following issue. In those times, it was common for Tevilah to take place in a river, and the rivers were very cold. That was not so pleasant to be toivel there. So he came up with the following idea. You fill a box with hot water, you lower it into the river, and then you remove the plug, so you have a hole at the bottom of this keli, which joins it to the river. We'll maybe discuss a little bit more in a minute the idea of joining something else onto a mikveh. It joins it onto the river. The river is a kosher mikveh. And subsequently, his idea was that also the tefillah in the box becomes a kosher mikveh as it's joined to the river. And the tefillah also takes place within a certain type of box basket, similar to the basket we mentioned a minute ago. That's the shayla which he sent to Rabbi Akiva Eger, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll discuss a little bit the issues involved, and if we have time, maybe we'll come also to Rabbi Akiva Eger's conclusion, maybe some other tzaddikim. The beauty of this subject is that besides it being a very interesting shayla on its own, it also gives us an opportunity to take a little look at concepts which are fundamental to Hilchos Mikvois, as we'll continue with the Marim Mekoymes. The next thing we've written here is, I think, the one pasuk in the Torah where almost all the halachos of mikvah are learned from. Short and brief, Ach Mayon Ubor, it's a pasuk in Parshas Shemini, Ach Mayon Ubor, Mikveh Mayim, Yeh Tohir. That's what it says. Didn't say very much. Chazal learned a tremendous amount of halachos from this one pasuk. And the next quote I put here is a Torah's Koyanim. This Torah's Koyanim contains all the fundamental halachos of Hilchos Mikvois. Indeed, it's not a sort of Torah's Koyanim tucked away which nobody has heard of. All the Rishonim in their halachic works on Hilchos Mikvois introduce their sefer with this Torah's Koyanim. This is the Marim Mokum for Hilchos Mikvois. The works of the Ravid, the Rashba, the Rosh, the Modcha all begin with this Torah's Koyanim. And the Torah's Koyanim goes like this. It makes a comparison between these two methods of Tevila, which are mentioned in the Torah. There's a Mayon, a spring, which is a natural source of water, and a Bor, or a Mikveh Mayim, which are gathered due to the actions of man. A person digs a Bor, he digs a pit, and then the water gathers there because he has created this Bor. And the Torah's Koyanim learns out from Mayon to Mikveh, and it says that even though it says Bor, which tells us that a certain amount of human intervention is permitted in the building of a Mikveh, as we said, the Bor is built through a person digging in the ground and making a hole and the rain gathers, nevertheless, it needs to be somewhat similar to a Mayon. Ma Mayon is about two-thirds of the way through. Ma Mayon she'ikroi bekarka, af mikveh she'ikroi bekarka. Just like a Mayon that sits on the ground, also a mikveh has to be contained within the ground. And it says this is to the exclusion, the example which the Torah's Koyanim gives is to the exclusion of a bor she'bisfino, a pit, which is held within a boat. Effectively a keli. You've got a large keli. It's not attached to the ground, it seems very large, and it holds all the water for you to fit in. It's still not a kosher mikveh. You cannot have the water of your mikveh contained in a keli. Then he continues, Ma mayon betai bekolshu, af mikveh betai bekolshu. You might have thought that since a mayon is kosher as a mikveh without a shiur, even the tiniest amount of water, if you needed to be toivel a very tiny keli, a tiny little spring would be good enough. In mikveh, it's not so. Mayon metar bekolshu va mikveh ba'arboim so. A mikveh has to have a shiur. This is more well-known halacha. A mikveh has to have a shiur of 40 so. So again, two fundamental halachas which we learn from here. One is that a mikveh is hosel when it's in a kli. It is essential for it to be contained in the karka, in the ground. And secondly, that a mikveh has to contain 40 saw. A shiur of 40 saw. Conventional mikvahs have at least 1,000 litres, which is far more than the shiur, but that's... For us, the shiur is 40 saw. So, at first, these two halachas would appear that maybe they might present a problem for water which is within a basket. A basket, first of all, is a keli. And second of all, the amount of water contained within this basket is nowhere near 40 so. You mentioned the tray, the ones I've seen actually have a basket, and the basket is maybe an amma by an amma, maybe a little bit more, but it doesn't contain 40 so, which is the shiur of 3 ammas by an amma. However, this problem is very simply solved. This is not the problem which is the issue. I'm just saying this in order we can build up to what is the real issue. These problems are very simply solved, because we have a Mishnah in Meseches Mikvois, which is the next Marim Mokum over here, Iruv Mikvois Kishvoi Peres Hanoid. When one wishes to join on a body of water which is possible as a mikveh, the example given in the Meforshim there, the Rash, the next Marim Mokum, a mikveh choser shebetzad mikveh sholi, a mikveh which does not contain the shir, which is adjacent, which is close by to a mikveh which does contain the shir. One makes a hole which is the size of a shvoiferes hamoid, the tube of a type of bottle flask which they had in the times of Chazal. The shear is 2 etzbois, not very big. Even a few centimetres, however big it is. You make a hole this size between the two areas of water, the two bodies of water, and even the one which is possible becomes kosher due to the fact that it's joined on to a mikveh kosher. So if you've got a mikveh which doesn't contain 40 sol, no great problem. So you make a connection, a hole of that size, of the size of a shveferes hanoid, to a mikveh kosher, and both areas of water are now kosher. Similarly, the Rishonim explain that if you have water which is contained within a keli, it's not a problem. You make a hole in the bottom of the keli, or in the side of the keli, wherever it should be, joins on to the mikveh kosher, and the water in the keli is also kosher. So very good. So we can effectively, seemingly be toivel within our basket. We make at the basket, at the bottom of the basket, a hole the size of a shveferes hanoid, nice big hole, 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres, nice big hole, which is what the basket has. And it's now joined on to the rest of the mikveh. Below there's a big bowl full of loads of water, much bigger than a sheer mikveh, joined onto there. And the water inside the basket is also kosher. Seemingly that would be fine. So what is the issue? What is the problem? The problem lies in the following Maramokri, which is a Mishnah also in Maseches Mikvois, which talks about so, tvila in a mile. That makes really no difference to us actually whether it's a mikvah or a mile. Just makes it a little easier to understand the tziur, but the case mentioned there is somebody who made the waters of this spring, of this little river, pass over a keli. It's all flowing along, and he, let's say, goes and places a keli, bang, in the middle of this river, therefore all the water is passing over this keli. So the Mishnah says, he'evirei al gabi kelim al gabi safsol. One makes the spring or the river pass over this keli, this bench. Rabbi Yehuda will skip Rabbi Yehuda's shit, the halacha is not like him. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, harei uka mikveh, it has a din of a mikveh, uvil vad, now the last words of the Mishnah, this is important to us, uvil vad sheloi yatpil al gabe hasafsol. He puts this bench in the middle of the river, all the water is passing over the bench, says Rabbi Yosi it is kosher, but one cannot be toivel on top of the bench. Now, as with, first of all, let's just mention the Rishonim are medayik that this Mishnah is also referring to Tvilas Kelim. Nobody should say it only refers to Odom or something, because it says the word Sheloi Yatbil. Yatbil is a causative Loshin, which is talking not about being toivel yourself, about being toivel something else. That's the diuk of the Loshon. It's talking actually about Tvilas Kelim. One cannot be toivel the keli on top of the bench. Now, as with many Mishnahs in Mikvois, the Mishnah is very, you know, vague and difficult to put your finger on. What exactly is wrong with this bench in the middle of the river? What's the problem here? As we already said, there is a halacha that even an area which is possible, which is joined on to an area which is kosher, with the size of a shveferes hanoid, is kosher. So this is joined on to the rest of the river before, the river after. What's the issue here? And also, when does this problem apply? Is it only a bench? What if it's not a bench? What if it's a flower pot? Or a, I don't know what. Anything else? A basket? What's it talking about? So there are different approaches in the Rishonim how to explain this Mishnah. What is the reason of the problem? What are the gvulim? What are the borders of this problem? What are the parameters of this problem? I'd like to begin with the shitta, which is the accepted halacha. There are other shittas, which we'll come to in a minute, but the shitta, which is the accepted halacha, is the shitta of the Ravid. The Ravid being the Baal Hasogis of the Ravid, the one who writes the famous Hasogis on the Rambam. He also has a halachic work on Hilchis Nidah and Hilchis Tvila, called Baalei HaNefesh, the fundamental work which many other Rishonim drew their opinions from there and based on there. So he has something to say about this Mishnah. And he says the following, that any keli which is Mekabel Tumah, Chazal made a gezerah not to be toivel on or above this keli. He says that the reason for that is, since we said earlier on, there is a fundamental halacha in Hilchos Mikvos, that the water which you're toivel in cannot be contained within a keli. So Chazal said, not only if the classic case where you take a big keli, a bathtub which is not attached to the ground, nothing, you put water in it and you're toivel in it, that's possible. That's a psul deoraisa. But even if you had a keli submerged within the mikveh, or even if that keli is turned the other way around and you're not being toivel within the keli, you're being toivel on the back of the keli, or the keli doesn't hold any water, as in the case of a bench. A bench doesn't hold water. It's a type of keli, but it's not a keli which holds anything. It doesn't have a base kibbutz. Any type of keli, the definition for keli being something that is mekabel tuma, it's a standard definition in halacha for a keli, something which is mekabel tuma, that might bring us to confusion. A person would think you can be toivel standing on this bench, or above this bench, or in this pot or basket or whatever it is, even though it's attached to a mikveh kosher. But since I am being toivel on top of something which resembles a keli, in the fact that it is mekabel tuma, that would bring a person maybe to confusion. One fine day, before you know where you are, people will be being toivel in bathtubs which are a keli, not attached to the ground. Before you know where you are, the whole of Hilchos Mikvos will be ruined. Therefore, Chazal made this gezeira, uvilvat shelo yatpil al gabe hasafsol, the Mishnah which we read before. One cannot be toivel standing on something which is mekabel tuma. So much so that the Ravid goes on to discuss what would a person do if they need to be toivel in a river or seabed or something where the floor is very dirty and muddy. And one doesn't wish to get one's feet dirty and also might get caught up in issues of chatzitza. What will you stand on, says the Ravid? You know, most average things a person would think of to stand on are actually mekabel tuma. And you can't stand on them. So says the Ravid, you're going to have to take some very simple types of twigs and wood, something in such a way that it's not mekabel tuma, put them on the floor and stand on them. That's the only idea I can give you, says the Ravid. You put some twigs on the floor, you stand on them, then you will not have the gezeira of Chazal. But if you have anything which is mekabel tuma, then you have this gezeiras chachomim of the safsal of the Mishnah in Mikvois. One cannot stand on top of something which is mekabel tuma and be toivel. That is how the Ravid explains the Mishnah. There is a gezeira not to stand on something which is mekabel tuma. So now, let's come back to our basket. We now understand that there's another issue we need to take into account. Even having circumvented the problems of that it doesn't have a shia and that it's a keli, that's on the basic, on a deraisa level. But now we have this gezeiras chachamim. One cannot be toivel in something which is mekabel tuma. So now let's take a look at this basket and decide, is it mekabel tuma? Is it not mekabel tuma? So some say that the standard shia, or perhaps let's say the largest shia one generally finds to remove Kabbalah's tumah from a keli, yeah? The basic principle of removing tumah from a keli is that you break the keli, you make it no longer useful for its original shimush, you're making it a large hole, it's no longer useful for its original use. So let's design the basket in such a way that it has a hole which will render it no longer mekabel tumah. Now, the largest shear we generally find is a shear called Kamoitzi Rimoy, the size which will even let a pomegranate fall through. So we make a nice big hole at the bottom. And fine, Shalom Al Yisrael, it's no longer Mekabel Tumah, and finished. Others say that you take a little closer look in the Inyonim of Tumah and Tara, and you'll see that although Moitzi Rimoy is a general guideline, but a kli which is still ro'i, still fitting for its original purpose, retains its din of Kabbalah's tumah even with a hole of Moitzi Rimoy. You make a very large hole. If it's still fit for its original purpose, it's still mekabel tumah. These are the words of the Rambam, which we printed out in the next Maariv Mokom. How large is the break which one should make in a keli that it shouldn't be mekabel tumah? Depending on what it is, says the Rambam. Kol zman sha'keli yochel la'asos me'en melachtoi, Adayin hu kli, v'choshuv kli sholei. Any time that the kli is still fitting for its original purpose, it is considered a kli, and it's still mekabel tuma. So our basket, even with a large hole, well, what's the basket there for? It's designed to prevent your kalim, your various different sized kalim, falling into the murky depths of the mikveh. So if it's cutlery, then they will fall through. But if it's a nice large pot or pan, then it won't fall. So therefore, the taina, let's say, of the opinion of the oisrim, is that this keli is still makabel tumah, and therefore you have not dealt with the issue of the gezeres chachomim, of the gezer of being toivel al gabe dova makabel tumah. When you toivel your keli within this basket, you're being toivel it on or above something which is makabel tumah. Now there are a number of ways of approaching a heter for this shay. One way is to go down the road of explaining that for some reason or other, it's not makabel tumah. That's one way. There are reasons for that, but we'll leave that avenue on the side for the moment. Let's accept that maybe it is makabel tumah, and see whether nevertheless we can find some reason why perhaps it would still be okay. And for this we come to the next Maran Boklim, which is the Rosh in his Halachos of Mishnah, where the Rosh also deals with the same Mishnah which we mentioned, one cannot be tovel above this bench. And he raises a very important kasha. Says the Rosh, I can't understand what's going on over here. How can you tell me that there is something wrong to be tovel on top of a keli? It's mafurish a Gemara, mamish mafurish a Gemara in Meseches Chagiga, even Mishnayos, in fact, that one can take a keli, a large keli, place a small keli within it, provided the kli has a large enough opening, an opening of a sheferes hanoid, and put the whole thing in the mikveh and be toivel everything in one go. When you're being toivel the inside keli is al gavi keli. It's on top of the keli. So it's mamish mafurish, so there's no problem. So how can you tell me in this Mishnah here, Vilvachla Yatba Gabi Safsal, that there's some problem, be it a Gezeres Chachomim, whatever it is, some problem being tovel on top of a keli, mafurish a Gemara in Meseches Chagiga, you take a large keli, put a small keli inside it, and be tovel the whole thing in the mikveh. So how can there be such a problem? As they fret the Rosh Akash. Comes along the Rosh and says, but you know what? This whole Gezeira of the Chachomim is only in such a case similar to this bench, where all the waters of the river are passing over the bench. In other words, the bench is not surrounded by water. The water is going over the bench. But the bench is not within the water. The water comes over it, and possibly even the bench sticks out on the sides of the width of this river. That's the case of the Mishnah. There's a river flowing along, and you put a bench there. The bench is not surrounded by water on all sides. Okay, the bench has got water coming over it, but it's not surrounded by water. Says the Rosh, we have to make a chiluk between a case where the keli which you want to be toivel on is surrounded by water, or it's not surrounded by water. If it's surrounded by water, then there's no gezeira of the chachomim. The gezeira of the chachomim was only made when you are being toivel on top of a keli which is not surrounded by water. And the svara in this, maybe we can explain a little bit. If the reason of this gezeira of the chachomim is you might come to be toivel in a keli, so where the keli has a certain independent character, it's not entirely surrounded by the mikveh itself. It sticks out. It holds a mokum for itself. It's looked upon as an independent thing. So then the chachomim said, if you'll be toivel on this, you'll be toivel on a keli all by itself, which is not attached to any mikveh. If you have something which is surrounded by mikveh water, it's entirely within the mikveh. So then you realize that your tefillah is in a mikveh, your tefillah is not in a keli, and you don't come to be toivel in kelim. On that, there's no mocking for any gzera, says the Rosh. So yeah, that's the answer which the Rosh gives. Again, the Gemara in Chagiga, which is mati you to be toivel a keli within a keli in the mikveh, is where the keli is entirely in the mikveh, it's surrounded by water. The gzera of the Chachomim was only when the keli is not surrounded by water. That is the answer, that is the opinion of the Rosh. Now, let's consider, does the Ravid agree to this chiluk of the Rosh? Doesn't seem that he agrees. The Ravid says that the only etzah you can think of for a person to be toivel on a dova hamakabel tumah, in fact he says there's no etzah. When he says the river is dirty at the bottom, he says you've got to find something which isn't the kabel tumah. Doesn't come up with any other etzahs. And anyway, he makes no mention of this chiluk. It's not mashma that he agrees to this chiluk. So then we need to understand, having said that, if he does not accept the chiluk of the Rosh, what does he answer to the kasha of the Rosh? What does the Ravid say? Indeed, what does he say? We have Igamori and Chagiga. You can be toivel a keli within a keli. I thought you Ravid, you say, no, you can't ever be toivel on something which is makabel tuma. So what do you do with the Igamori and Chagiga, excuse me? So, there are two answers in the Gedolei HaAchronim to answer this kasha. And the heter of this basket, according to this line of thinking, is toloi on this machlokes of the Achronim. There is an answer of the Beis Meir, and an answer of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Again, we want to explain, what does the Ravid say about the Gemara in Chagiga, which is matting you to be tovel a keli within a keli. So the Beis Meir answers that it depends whether you bring the keli already full of kelim to be tovel in the mikveh. When you bring a keli already full of kelim to be tovel in the mikveh, that is more kal. Why? Because you are coming now with this keli to join it onto the mikveh, you clearly realize that there's a soirech to be tovel in a mikveh kosher, and on that, Chazal were not goyze. They were only goyze on something which was in the mikveh before you came. It was there before you, and now you come to be tovel within it. On that, there's a gezerah. Igmar and Chagiga is talking, you fill it with kelim and put it in. On that, there's no gezerah. So if we go with the mahalach of the Beis Meir, we have no heter for this basket. The basket is there before we come. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger says a different terz. He says that, you know what? The general way of these kelim, which it was nohuk to be toivel in, which Chazal were worried about, they were worried about some type of bathhouse where people came and sat in tubs. And if you were toivel in a mikveh, which on top of the keli, you can't be tovel in that. Those kelim, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, a chiluk like this, those kelim, those bathtubs, were sitting on the floor. They were not suspended above the water. The whole time when Chazal made a gezerah not to be tovel on top of a keli, is a keli which is sitting on the floor, similar to the bathtubs which Chazal were worried about. However, a keli which is suspended above the water and is not resting on the floor, on that, Chazal didn't make any gezerah. And that is the heter of the Gemara in Chagiga, where you put kelim within kelim and betoivel them, because those kelim aren't resting on the floor, they're above the water. Any case which is above the water, al pnei ha-mayim, not resting on the floor, on that, Chazal didn't make any gezerah. So Rabbi Akiva Eger answered back his relative, in the shayla that we started with, where they wanted to make a box of hot water and lower it into the river, that it's fine. Because your box is not resting on the riverbed, it was suspended somehow above the surface of the water, and it's kosher. And according to this mahalach of Rabbi Akiva Eger, similarly, our basket is also suspended above the water, and it will be kosher. There's a lot of other things to talk about, but